Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, if you were looking for a market booster for sentiment, you have not one, but two potential sources. A week after Pfizer and BioNTech announced that interim results for their COVID-19 vaccine candidate proved to be more than 90% effective on some of their trial participants, Moderna decides to outdo them and reveal that the preliminary results for their vaccine was proven to be 94.5% more effective. And we are seeing, though, the signs of the recent rally or the recent gains from the markets induced by these vaccine news starting to just peter out and fall back just a touch, despite the Straits Times Index locking in a more than 1% gain this Tuesday. But how might this change the landscape for markets moving forward, if at all? Well, today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined once again by Mr. Jacob Du, the Chief Investment Officer for Envision Wealth Management, to talk to get his thoughts on how this might change the game for markets here in Singapore and across the world. Jacob, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still in good health. And welcome back to the show. It's been a while, sir.
Yes. Hi, JP. Thank you for inviting me back again.
Yeah. So, Jacob, again, you know, it seems like, Pfizer and BioNTech and Moderna, they seem to be like two students that are trying to compete for top valedictorian, you know, 90% effective rate, 94.5% effective rate. And you have two vaccines that could have given markets that boost. Do you think, based on what you're seeing, that we have now turned a corner in terms of in the time of this pandemic, in terms of markets that could slowly but surely start to really lift itself up off the canvas?
Well, I would say that given what's been announced recently, it certainly gives the markets hope that we may have reached bottom, but the recovery definitely is going to be distant away. Simply because one cannot expect the economic activity to revert back to pre-COVID days because there are logistical issues with the availability of the new vaccines. If you look exactly on how this thing is going to be distributed, and the fact that for both vaccines, it needs the booster as well. So currently, based on as of yesterday itself, the official number is that that's going to be only 60 million doses going to be made available initially. That will mean that there's only going to be 30 million people that will get it first. So anxiety will need to be managed. So in this regard, I would expect the economic activities will take some time to recover. And separately, even for the work life, they may not be the same again because the companies around the world have realized that now, there's a lot of cost savings, especially on office rentals. So unless there's a compromise to work efficiencies, companies may not necessarily have their office be fully staffed. As for where the markets are going to behave, well, it may run ahead of itself by suggesting a rotation to value stocks from growth stocks. So on the interest rate front, I would say that the yield curve will steepen as the market will anticipate a faster economic recovery. Hence, fixed income portfolios may face a challenge, and a recommendation to shorten duration is warranted.
Right. You talked about this potential rotation from growth to value, and you know you need some of these big events, Jacob, to really trigger some of these rotations, these rebalancings from one place or another in the markets at the moment. Do you think an actual rotation is in place, or is there has there been a stalling in terms of this reallocation and re-justification, at least, from these pricey growth and tech stocks into value at the moment? What are your thoughts? And should markets prepare for this rotation to really gather steam in the next couple of months?
Well, I would say that the rotation into value stock has started. It's more to a tactical asset allocation per se, rather than strategic asset allocation. So the thing is that you know the value stocks themselves seems to be supported by every vaccine announcement. So the market is where has been looking for a reason to pick up value stocks for a while, given the fact that the tech stocks has been blazing its way up to such high levels that we've seen over the last couple of weeks before November 3rd elections. So as a comparison in pure price terms, had you invested $1 in a value stock at the start of 2008, 12 years ago, it would now be worth $1.45. But have you invested in a growth stock, then over the same period, you'll be worth 191. So that's a very big difference. That's why the market is probably now saying that, look, now we have got every reason since that all the value stocks have been battered down, it's time to move into that. Now, so in the short term, value investing is set to outperform as vaccines are being rolled out and expected mass inoculation allows for the prospect of a return to normalcy. But in the longer term, growth stock will still be in play given the government's plan to develop 5G networks in the role of 5G applications across many sectors such as medical, autonomous vehicles, digital currencies, cellular usage. Now, but within the value stocks, there must be caution. If you look at exactly in financials, the recent run-up was due to mainly to the steepening of yield curve. The problem in the medium term is that the Federal Reserve will be doing further curtailing of banks' earnings. If they would adopt the current trajectory of what they're doing right now, there's intention to extend the maturity of the U.S. Treasuries given the worsening situation in many states. Now, this effectively will reduce the bank's ability to raise or to make money, especially for the money market desk. So couple this with recent actions where the Federal Reserve is buying its own bonds. So banking stocks cannot be held for the long term in the portfolio. Yeah. So hence, investing in the value stocks may need to be short term. I would say that over the next 2 quarters. So in terms of sector play, my preference would be industrial, supply chain, logistics, pair down on tech for a while. For speculative purpose, then one may consider airline, cruise companies, hospitality. On the geographical side, I would prefer China.
Fair enough. We're still speaking to Jacob Du, the CIO of Envision Wealth Management here on Money FM 89.3. So Jacob, I do want to focus on the excellent performance, that is, of the Straits Times Index in recent times. And one criticism that some investors have always have had of the Straits Times Index, not a criticism, but a nuanced observation, is that the Straits Times Index has lagged other peers because they lack these tech stocks in their portfolio, and also because it's such a cyclical representation of the Singapore economy, which we've seen is very vulnerable and very dependent on the economic standing of some of their biggest trading partners. Also, the likes of DBS, SATS, SIA, these are all cyclical companies for the most part on the Straits Times Index. Can it be argued, though, that if a vaccine is developed, the Straits Times Index itself and all of these cyclical, quote-unquote, old-world stocks, not my words, but some of these tech analysts, analysts have actually used this, could this actually stand to gain the most or bounce back the most if a COVID-19 vaccine is developed? Is that what's been driving some of this optimism in Singapore that has investors chomping at the bit?
Well, we'll see there are two things. One is that if you look at the overall Singapore economy, it's not really a tech economy per se, mm-hmm. right? Because then you don't have a lot of all these growth companies and all these unicorns in Singapore. Primarily, it's all foreign companies itself. So therefore, if you look at exactly how the Straits Times is behaving, given exactly the vaccines have been announced, definitely the value stocks of most of the logistics companies itself, or even the transportation companies, they definitely will be going up in the because everybody moving into value stocks. But having said that, if you look at the Straits Times index itself, since the start of the year, it's down about 13.7%. Right? Mm-hmm. Even though, despite the fact that today we are seeing about at least a 1.1% move. So it's, in a sense, it's playing a catch-up with the rest of the world, right? Especially with China. So I would say, yes, it's good to look at, especially given the fact that now, even despite what the Singapore government has been doing, I would feel that Singapore stocks will continue to move higher, but in a very small, slow and gradual way.
Is there any room for Singapore stocks or the STI in your portfolio when you're advising clients at the moment, Jacob? Or are you looking at other particular markets at the moment in terms of making sure that your clients and their portfolios are either protected or can actually find some upside as in the last 2 months of the year?
Well, I would say that in terms of sector-wise, like I mentioned earlier, I would prefer to go into logistics, into transportations, into industrials, right? And even the supply chain type. So basically, the likes of your ST Engineering, the likes of your SIA book, that would be a speculative play. And even for some of the REITs itself, I will consider for a short-term play, but I wouldn't be holding it for too long in my portfolio at all.
Okay, interesting enough. Jacob, next week we're also getting Singapore GDP figures sometime on Monday, I believe. And, there are expectations that, yes, it could continue to show some, an economic drag, at least, for the Singapore economy. But everyone's hoping that there will be at least a promise or the hope that it will show signs of a rebound from the second quarter. How important is this print, though, going to be for markets moving forward? How closely are you watching this, or is this going to be something you're just going to glance at for 2 minutes before you get back to your cup of coffee on Monday morning?
Well, I would say that the expectations for the quarter-in-quarter figure itself is going to be up about approximately between 7-9%, although on year-on-year, probably will come in approximately negative 5.6%. for the third quarter GDP. But I guess markets probably looking ahead to see what's going to happen next, because if you look at around the world now, especially in Europe and the United States, you probably will be facing a couple of months, 2 months perhaps, of lockdown. And with the current messiness in the U.S., it's going to be very difficult for any economic activity to continue. So which means that potentially you may see a blip in the entire figure itself, where essentially you may see a month's figure that's going to come down negatively. So the only hope that everyone is pinning on is just on China, exactly. And of course, hopefully that even with the RCEP that has been signed recently, that itself will take some time to be ratified, and will not see the effect until perhaps after middle of next year. So which means that while the expectation of third quarter GDP will be higher, but coming to the fourth quarter, you know, that expectation will be pared down.
Man, you know, you bring up something very interesting, Jacob, just to wrap things up. You know, you're seeing rising COVID-19 cases and growing shutdowns and the lockdowns, that is, across the Northern Hemisphere, especially in the West. How might this weigh on the economy and markets overall? And could this be a case of markets and the economy getting a little bit worse before things get better over the next couple of months? Do we have to buckle down for possible pain, at least for the next couple of months, as the winter months and the rising COVID-19 cases roll out across the Northern Hemisphere?
Well, I think for the Western world, definitely we're going to suffer for a while, especially in the winter days itself. But given the fact that the vaccine will be available eventually, and with the race to get all these vaccines rolled out, I would say that for any dip that we see in the markets, definitely then it's time to buy into that, in all those things. Interestingly, the fact is that for anyone looking at investing into all these pharmaceutical firms or even biotech firms like Moderna and Pfizer, well, one caution for them, that is, the CEOs of Moderna has been selling its stake since the start of the year and even until this last week. So, you know, it's a strange thing that for the CEO to be selling his own stake up to 40% throughout, even though despite the announcement. And even for Pfizer CEO, he has been selling his own stake as well after the announcement. So the fact is that, I guess, yes, they will probably be making money as a company itself from the role of the vaccine. But, I don't think it's going to be sustainable.
Interesting enough. And, so many questions about the recent share sales of Pfizer and Moderna as CEOs in terms of share sales. But we'll have to leave that for another discussion and another 15-minute chat with Jacob Du in the future. I'd like to thank Jacob Du, CIO of Envision Wealth Management, for joining us today on Money FM 89.3. As always, Jacob, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety in these very uncertain times. And we look forward very much to the next time you can join us on the show. Meanwhile, have a great Tuesday afternoon, sir.
You too. Take care then.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.